Now, I'm now joined in the studio by Dermot Stevenson. He's Senior Executive Engineer for Dublin City Council, and we're going to be talking about Phase 2 expansion of the 30 kilometre per hour slow zones in certain residential areas of the north side of Dublin. Very good morning to you, Dermot. You're very welcome to Northside today, and thanks for taking the opportunity to come in and see us.
Thank you, Johnny.
And talk to us. You're keeping well, by the way.
I am indeed.
Yeah. Okay. First of all, may I ask you just to briefly outline the roads affected with particular reference to the residential areas surrounding here of, let's say, Raheny, Dunamead, Drumcondra, Glasnevin, Phibsborough and the surrounding parts. Or if you prefer, maybe, you know, at your end, to just indicate where the actual boundaries lie.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah. Well, looking at the map, we have the Raheny area certainly will be affected by the roads in around the Greendale, Maywood and Briarfield areas. More specifically to the Coolock, kind of Donnymead area, looking at areas over to the boundary from Kilbarrick, all the way west as far as the Malahide Road, up as far as Clare Hall and the Tongligee Road. Would boundary that area, and then again west of the Malahide Road, again in around the Donnycarney area, which would be referring to Collinswood, Elmmount, Collins Park. So they're the main, kind of main areas we've included in phase two of the expansion.
Okay, all right. Why was it initially decided to make it 30 kilometres per hour and not say 40? Would you not think 30 per hour is perhaps too slow, particularly, let's say, you know, at the likes of 3 a.m. in the morning when hardly anyone is about and very little traffic on the road? Just asking for the sake of the listeners.
Yeah, look, well, I suppose looking at all the speed limits there, the statistics that we have show us that at 50%, at 50 kilometres an hour, if you're struck by a vehicle, out of 10 people, 50% of those people will be killed. So yeah. 50% will survive. And then lowering down at 30 kilometres an hour, the rate of survival increases to 90%. And looking at best practice across Europe in areas where it's been brought in Germany and Netherlands and the UK, it's shown that 30 kilometres an hour is more effective than the 40 kilometres an hour in saving lives, which is our main reason for introducing such measures as this.
Okay. Was it ever a possibility to enforce these limits to, let's say, at specific times in a day? For example, like the bus lanes. Would you not agree perhaps it might have been more practical, or is there a specific reason why this didn't come about?
Well, if you looking at that, I suppose if you put time limits on speed limits, you know, drivers can get confused. You know, your signage may not be coherent enough to deliver the message you're trying to get across. So I suppose the speed limit, really, if you set the speed limit, it has to be there 24 hours a day, regardless of where it is in terms of residential area or on a main road. But of course, all speed limits are enforceable. So we would ask people to respect the speed limit at all times, even if you are driving in a residential area at 3 o'clock in the morning. But so I suppose the idea we have behind it is that people, when driving in the residential areas like we're speaking of here, that they would respect the area that they're driving in and respect other road users. You know, the people that live here, they're more built up areas, and the idea behind that is to get people to kind of come out, you know, enjoy their areas a lot more, get kids out playing, people walking, cycling and enjoying the areas that they live in, I suppose. And the one of the other byproducts that we're hoping to see from the speed limit is a reduction in noise and air pollution, which will hopefully, you know, again benefit the areas in which we're in, where we've introduced it.
Okay. Sorry to harp on it, but what if, just like the bus lanes, if it was a situation where everybody knows it's a set time, like let's say just to pluck something out of the air from 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. 7 days a week, the limit is not, you know, at 30, it's back to what it was before, and everybody knows about that regardless of signs or anything. Was it ever an issue before deciding to enforce?
No, it's not something that we considered, really. No, I mean, if we know we're introducing a speed limit, we want that speed limit and all the time. I mean, you know, they're like with bus lanes, I suppose there's an issue of road space rather than you know, a speed limit. But I suppose if people are aware that speed limits aren't enforced, or that a speed limit changes between one time and another, it could be ambiguity in terms of an enforcement issue. So I suppose being led by again, with the other European cities, it felt that you know, the speed limit across the board is the way, best way forward. So,
okay, so it can never be an issue. It can never be changed in the future.
Well, it can be always be reviewed and be changed under the bylaws. But you know,
right.
Okay. It's quite an arduous process to go through, in terms of reporting to. It's called public consultation, reporting to councillors and strategic policy committees and stuff like that. So it's not something that's just going to be done with a stroke of a pen. That was a long, arduous, you know, a long process to get to where we are today.
Okay. Are there signs fully in place now everywhere where it's affected?
Yes, the signs are fully in place, and the phase two came into effect last week as of the end of May, 1st of June. So all the areas that are affected by the, or benefiting, as you might say, from the 30 kilometre an hour, would have a sign at the point of entry. So when you are coming off an arterial route or a road, say at 50 or 60 kilometres an hour, and you're coming into an area that is then 30 kilometres an hour, you will be met by the slow zone sign, which is made up of the 30 kilometre an hour regulatory sign with the 30 in the middle. And then there'll also be a kind of a diagram in terms of, you know, children playing, people walking, that sort of indicating a residential built-up area and a slower zone road marking under that as well. So, and subsequently, when you're leaving the 30 kilometre an hour zone, then you're going to be met with the speed limit onto which the road you're going onto. So if you're going onto a road that's 60 kilometre an hour, there will be a 60 kilometre an hour sign saying, you know, so you're leaving the slow zone, you're now entering onto a road that isn't 30.
Okay, so the signs are actually at the point of entry and the point of exit.
Well, the point of entry was what you'll meet the 30, yes, but there will be a subsequent sign on the back of that or on the pole, you know, adjacent to that, indicating the sign onto which the road you are entering.
Okay, but there are no more signs between the point of entry and the
signs inside the zones, no.
Okay, could that be a possibility?
Well, it's not Dublin City Council's policy is for as much as we can is to reduce the amount of signage we have on roads. So, and it's not the policy to put up repeater signs for speed limits.
Yeah.
So we feel that, you know, a good bright sign at the point of entry should suffice in terms of indicating what the speed limit is inside the residential area.
All right. So it was never considered that perhaps a driver who is entering into a different zone, like let's say he's turning left, he's turning right. You know, the brain is working on lots of different things at the point of junction, at the lights or whatever. You may miss it at the point of entry, but you don't see it again, and then they get caught for speeding.
But that's like all speed limits. I mean, around the city, all the speed limits are only at the point of entry and the point of exit. So, I mean, although you might see a couple in around Malahide Road or some of that, I mean, it's indicating that you're going from 50 to 60 back to 50. So you will see, you know, signage like that. But where you've gone for long stretches without seeing a repeater sign at all. So I suppose the default speed limit is 50 within the city limits.
Yeah.
And then where, you know, where we have differences, that's where we have the speed signage.
Yeah. We'd be thinking more of, the tourists who hire a car and not used to the area.
Yes.
That they might get caught in that situation.
I suppose will be a sort of a bedding in period, and there will be people getting used to the new signage, and people obviously living in the areas then would, you know, they become more aware of the 30 kilometre an hour zone that are around. Yeah. So speaking on programmes like this has been awful, you know, is benefiting the people and getting the message out there in terms of where it is and what's going to happen.
Yeah. I guess it's at the time when we had the miles instead of kilometres and the changeover, it took people a while to get used to it.
Yeah, didn't
it?
When any initiative like that does.
And this is probably going to be a similar situation.
Yeah, well, you know. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Just one question for you, Dermot. Looking at the map where it outlines phase one, phase two, etc., it's up on your website. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems that the area stretching from Phibsborough north down to Smithfield, including the whole area of Smithfield, then stretching west as far as Kilmainham and south as far as Dolphin's Barn. It's the yellow bit.
Yes.
Yeah? The limit is still a bit higher per hour, although they say it's due for review in phase three. Why? Just wondering, just for the sake of our listeners, we're wondering why this decision was taken. Was there any particular reason, as one would have, have expected it to be all commencing from, you know, city centre inwards and working its way out, and we seem to have a gap there. We were also concerned about the fact that Smithfield, being a very busy area, high density of people living in the apartments there, lots of apartments, a place frequented at night and weekends, and a place for events as well. Or is the map misleading colour-wise, or how is that about?
I think of what I'm getting from your question is the areas where you from Fisborough, when you stretch down, there are areas indicated in white, which are arterial roads,
yeah,
which are kind of main roads which are leading in around and through
Constitution Hill.
Yeah, these areas here. Yeah. So these areas are at a higher speed limit than 50, so they could be at 60 or 80 kilometres. Oh, I suppose the 80 kilometres is a little bit out along the Chapel Hill. So these roads are at 60. So it was felt that, you know, to reduce these roads at the initial stages to down to 30 would be too big a task, but it would be too big of a reduction in the speed for drivers to adhere to. So what we proposed to do was to look at these areas in phase three based on the information that we get from phases one and two in terms of how effective it's being and how it's going, you know, and how drivers are perceiving the new speed limit. So the process will be then to review these areas, or review these roads rather, the arterial roads in phase three, which will be happening early next year when we have the information collated from the review process from phases one and two towards the end of this year.
Okay, so the brainwave behind that was a test in phase two, and then working it on phase three, depending on how phase two worked out.
Obviously, in phase three, we're looking at the arterial and also other. Other residential areas, you know, that we were getting representations on to have included in for 30 kilometres an hour or so, and then other areas that we've seen, you know, that may benefit from that area from the introduction of the speed limit as well. So it's an ongoing process. It's not something that we're going to land and walk away from. We're constantly reviewing this and gathering data and looking at areas where we can introduce it and also looking at the effectiveness of it. As I say, that'll be coming out towards the end of the year. So hopefully we'll see some good results there.
All right. Okay. So what are the main benefits of lowering the limit to 30?
Well, I suppose the main limit is you're getting slower speed limits on the road, which is obviously going to reduce road deaths and road fatalities. You're also going to hopefully improve the noise pollution and air pollution in the areas. We're going to see people, you know, coming back out into their areas and enjoying the amenities that their areas provide in green spaces, you know, cycleways, parks, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I suppose the main things we're hoping to see, and we know statistically we will see, is a reduction in road fatalities by introducing this. And that is the main driver for the introduction of the speed limit.
Okay. Yeah, it all makes sense. All right. Do you firmly believe that because of all this, people will stop using their cars and opt for the walking and cycling thing? Just asking, because many people, even since phase one and so forth, they still continue to use the car just to go down the road to the local shop.
Well, I suppose the initiative is not an anti-car initiative. It's more of a pro area initiative, I see it. You know, we're not asking people not to use your cars, but if you are using your car in a built-up area or a residential area or an adjacent to a school, that you would, you know, drive a little bit slower. I mean, we did a test run in one of our other areas down in the southeast area, where we went along through the Sandy Mound area at the old speed limit of 50 kilometres an hour, and we drove the same route a little while later. And we saw that the journey time had only increased by 60 seconds at driving at 30 kilometres an hour. So it's not an anti-car initiative by any stretch of imagination. I mean, what we're trying to get at is that we want people to respect the areas that they're living in, not to be speeding around the roads, you know, and be vigilant of other vulnerable road users as well as other cars in the area. So that's all, I mean, and improving the quality of the areas that they're in. And other areas, and not only their own areas, but other areas that they go to. I mean, you have people driving from Coolock to Raheny, you know, right through, you know, Artane, any of these other areas. So it's not something that we just want people to respect in their own area, but in other areas that they go into as well. So,
yeah, okay, all right, okay. Can you just explain, if you don't mind me asking, how will traffic move more smoothly with minimal effects on journey times if everybody is driving slower?
So could you say that again, sorry?
Can you just explain how the traffic can move more smoothly with minimal effects on the journey times if everybody is driving slower?
Well, everyone's driving slower. I suppose the journey times is only increasing by a minute. You know, but if everyone is respecting a 30 kilometre an hour zone in the residential area, there may not be that many cars on the road. You know, you're not gonna, you may not have traffic jams or stuff like that happening on a, in a residential area, albeit you might have an additional, additional kind of car there. But I mean, I'm just saying, if you're going from A to B at 50, and you go on the same journey A to B at 30, it's only going to take you a couple of seconds longer to do that. So I don't think that's a, you know, we feel that's not a big ask for people in terms of their journey time.
All right, okay. We felt, you know, realistically, you're not talking about one or two cars, you're talking about hundreds and thousands of cars. So if they're all driving much slower, we're going to have a more of a backup.
But you may not have all that cars on the road at one time. Well, you wouldn't hope you'd have, you know, during rush hours, yes, you may have it. You may have an additional number of cars on the road, but I suppose if you're having, if you're in a traffic jam at that stage, you're not moving, or you're going to be driving at a speed limit close to 30 anyway.
Okay, right. What about the internal, like deep inside the residential areas? For example, let's say Glen Toe Road in Whitehall, which goes right up from Collins Avenue and comes up to a green, and you've got lots of houses around the green, and then it goes back down the other side and then back down to Collins Avenue, where the 44 bus takes that route. There are lots and lots of children playing in that area. Or for another example would be, let's say, in Clongriffin, in Bow Park. There's a tremendous amount of children on the roads there. How is all this going to affect, I mean, that's the place where the children are playing. That's the danger zone.
Yes.
That's the danger zone. And we're going to have a situation where it's recognised to be 30 or less because of the children, but you won't have speed cameras.
No, there won't be speed cameras in the residential areas,
so,
no.
So how can it be achieved to make it successful, to reduce the possibility of more accidents to children in the places where they're actually playing? Because they're not going to be playing on the Malahide Road or the Tonglagee Road.
No.
But they're going to be playing, you know, they're going to be playing in their own, where they live.
Exactly, yeah.
And yet at the same time, there are drivers during the day who don't respect the fact that children are playing. And how can we tackle that? That's my question.
I suppose, you know, I suppose that's an issue for enforcement, and it's not something that we can be responsible for wholeheartedly.
Oh no,
with the city council. So
no, not at all. No.
I suppose what we're trying to do with bringing initiatives like this is to increase the safety for children playing in these areas, and asking people that they will respect 30 kilometres an hour when they come into these areas. Although they are enforceable, you may not see a hard guard of presence in these areas at all times.
You won't see any.
You may not. I'm speaking from Dublin City Council, not from Garda Síochána.
Yeah,
I suppose other measures that we can do, but I mean, in after the review has taken place, if we see that the speeds are not reducing to the levels that we're expecting to see, we may introduce some softer engineering measures. As an example of that would be, we took a speed limit or a speed survey on the Watermill Road one afternoon last year, and we got an average speed of 43 kilometres an hour. And that was on when there was a good clear road ahead of us, nothing parked either side. We came back to that road in the evening. There was cars parked on either side of the road, using St. Anne's Park there.
Yeah,
And our speed reduced from 43 to 34. And that was purely because the road widths had been restricted by the cars parked on either side. So it may be something that we look at in residential areas to, you know, strategically ask people to park or restrict people from parking. Or other measures like that, but in terms of reducing the speed right down. But we're hoping that we won't have to go in and do these kind of measures, and that people will respect where they're living, people where they're working and where they're travelling through, and you know, with the 30 kilometre in Arizona, and let the areas be used for what they're meant to be for people to get out and enjoy, and kids to play, and people to get out and walk and cycle and be active, and, you know, and get, I suppose, very popular days is the healthier lifestyle and the more active lifestyle. So,
yeah, well, I think the ideal situation, if we ended up like in Holland, in Amsterdam, you know, where everybody is cycling, hardly a car on the road, that would be wonderful. When is phase 3 expected? 2018, is it?
Early 2018, yeah. So
okay.
I suppose what we're going to do, the next process, or the next stage in the process, will be to review phases 1 and 2. That'll be taking place in September, October this year.
Okay.
Where we'll be revisiting roads where we had done baseline surveys for speed, noise and air quality. And they will be remeasured for the same speed, noise and air quality, We'll have a look at the data, collate it, and we'll prepare a report for the City Council and the elected members and present that to them, and looking at how effective the introduction of the speed limit was.
Okay.
And then based on that, we will look at phase three, which will be happening in early 2018, which I said before will be focusing on the arterial routes in around the areas, but also looking at further areas where we can look at the introduction of the speed limit, and then also looking at measures, like I explained, the software engineering measures in the areas where we haven't seen the 30 kilometres an hour as effective as we would like.
Okay, that's absolutely wonderful. I have to wish it all the best of luck. I think the main aim of all of this is to reduce the number of accidents, injuries, and deaths on the roads, which is a good thing, you know. And we actually have almost run out of time, so we have to move into a break. And I just want to say, Dermot, thank you very much for coming into us.
Thank you, John.
Pleasure having you, and have a great day.
Thanks very much, Johnny. Cheers. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.